الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah for bringing us together again to have another study in Tafsir. In our last Tafsir class, we taught at verse 74 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So inshallah, today we shall continue from verse 75. Our discussion today will focus more on the Ahlul Kitab, especially the Jews. Okay, most of the verses we are going to be reading are verses talking about the character of the Jews and some lessons that we can learn from what took place between them and the Prophet, or what took place between them and their Prophet, Prophet Musa. Tell us what not only is Jesus' knowledge.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفتطمعون أن يؤمنوا لكم وقد كان فريق يستمعون كلام الله وقد كان فريق منهم يستمعون كلام الله ثم يحرفونه من بعد ما عقلوه وهم يعلمون. وإذا لقوا الذين آمنوا قالوا آمنا وإذا خلا بعضهم إلى بعض قالوا أتحدثونهم بما فتح الله عليكم
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling the Prophet Muhammad and his companion that the Jews living with them in Medina are people who are descendants of the Jews who lived during the time of Prophet Musa. And for that reason, their characters are the same. Because the Prophet and his companions were eager to see that the Jews living with them in Medina accept Islam. Okay? The Prophet and his companions felt these Jews are people who believe in Allah. They are people who have received revelation. So their condition is not like the Quraysh in Mecca, who were idol worshippers, who don't have any concept of God in their ideology, you understand? Who don't believe in the hereafter, who don't believe in the day of judgment, they don't believe in paradise, they don't believe in hellfire. But the Jews, on the other hand, they believe in Allah. They believe in the day of judgment. They believe that there is paradise, they believe that there is hellfire. So, the Prophet and his companions were eager to see that these people accept Islam, because they believe we have so many things in common. So they are always extending a doubt to them and hoping that they will believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that these Jews you are seeing are not likely to believe. What? Allah says, أَفَتَطْمَعُونَ أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا لَكُمْ. Do you have hope that they will believe in you? Are you not in the hope that these people will believe in you? Allah says, وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Whereas a group among them used to listen to the word of Allah. يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. They used to listen to the word of Allah. ثُمَّ يُحَرِّكُونَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا عَقَلُوا. Then they will deliberately change it after they have understood it. Allah says, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they knew that what they were doing was wrong. Yes, they were ignorant. Allah is actually referring to their forefathers, those who lived in the time of Prophet Musa. Okay? Allah says that there were people, a group among them, at least their forefathers, were people who had the word of Allah, yet they deliberately changed it. Do you understand? They deliberately changed it. Some scholars of the say Allah here is referring to those groups whom we mentioned before, those 70 group of people who followed Musa to the mount where he used to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So they knew that Musa used to communicate with Allah, and they even asked that they want to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to Musa, of which Musa prayed to Allah to make them hear some of the communication. So they had Allah giving instructions, do this, don't do that. Yes, when they return back to the people, they change everything that they had from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if that is the nature of their forefathers, what do you expect from the descendants? Okay? One other scholar say no. The verse is all the parts referring to the same Jews living with the prophets in Medina, because some of them, especially their scholars, they have the knowledge of the book of Torah. They knew that in the book of Torah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed them that towards the end of time, Allah will send the last prophet. And these are his qualities. So they knew that, yet they deliberately changed it. When the prophet came, they knew that those qualities mentioned in their book were in line with the qualities of the Prophet of Allah. Yet they deliberately changed them so that their people would not believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is like saying, okay, are you not in the hope that this kind of people will believe when this is their character? You understand? Allah says, وَإِذَا لَكُمْ لَذِينَ آمَنُ. Allah says, when they meet those who believe, the ones in Medina with the Prophet now, when they meet the Muslims, when they meet those who believe, all they will say, آمَنَّا. They will say, we believe. Alright? We believe. Just as Allah told us in the Munafiqun, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ
قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ.
Allah says it's the attribute of the hypocrite generally. When they come to the Prophet, they say, we believe. Now the same thing with this Jews here. They were Jews who came to the Prophet and they would say, we believe. Okay, so that's what Allah said, that hypocrites were not just among the Arabs in Medina. We also had hypocrites among the Jews. Okay, because they will come. Allah says, wa ibadu kullazina amanu qalu amanna. When they come to you, when they meet those who believe, they will say, we believe. But what is a khala ba'duhum ila ba'd? But when they are alone with themselves, privately now, qalu, they will say, atuhadithunahum bima fataha Allahu alaykum. They will be telling each other, are you going to tell them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disclosed to you? لِيُحَاجُّوكُمْ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ. So that they will now be able to argue over you in the presence of your Lord. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Won't you reason? You know, the knowledgeable ones now are blaming the followers. Why will you go and testify before Muhammad that you believe? Why will you testify before the Muslims saying that yes, we believe that your prophet is a true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why will you be telling them that yes, Allah told us in our book Torah that a prophet is coming, and that prophet is in, the qualities are in line with the qualities of the prophet? He said that if you say so to them, then they will have evidence against you.
You understand? So they say that, why would you tell them? لِيُحَاجُوكُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ so that they will not be able to argue over you in the presence of your Lord. They will say, as on that time, look, we still read it. So that if you do that, they will have upper hand against us. So it's better we conceal this thing. We don't say it out. We say it's not like that. You understand? And also Allah rebuked them by saying, أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ Don't they know that Allah knows what they hide and what they reveal? Whether they say it out or they hide it, Allah knows it too. Okay? So the point here is that the Jews in Medina with the Prophet of Allah knew that Prophet Muhammad is indeed the last prophet. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed them in their book and they know all the qualities mentioned. They are in line with the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why Allah used to say that they know him just the way they know their father. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَاءَهُ They know him the way they know their father. Alright? But because they were disappointed, their belief was that this last prophet was going to emanate among them. That it now happened that he ended up coming among the Arabs. And that was why, because of envy, because of that disappointment, they refused to believe. That was what made them to believe. So what we learn from this is that those, even among Muslims today, those who know the truth in any matter and deliberately change it, they are following the steps of Jesus. Today we have people like that, who will read the Quran, who will read the Sunnah of the Prophet of Islam and understand it clearly. Okay? But they will deliberately change the meaning. Okay? Because of what? Because of what we have here. Or because of leadership. Some of them will say, if we tell our followers the truth, then they will stop following us. We are going to lose our position. And because of that, they prefer to continue to deceive their followers. Let them continue to follow them like that. Okay? So those that are doing this kind of thing are following the footsteps of the Jews. May Allah protect us from this. Now.
وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ
except false hope. Allah says, "Wa in whom illa yahdun." And they do nothing but guess what? Allah says, among the Jews, there are those who are umiyun.
on letter. When we say somebody is ummi, alright, it is in affiliation to his mother. Because everybody came to this world without knowing anything, isn't it? والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم
لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون.
Allah mentioned this word now. Allah brought you out from the womb of your mother. لا تعلمون شيئا. Nobody came into this world with knowledge. Then he said, who came into this world and he already has knowledge? Nobody. Except maybe Prophet Isa. Alright, was one who came and from arrival and started talking. Besides him, nobody came here with knowledge. Allah said, Allah gave you, وَجَلَّكُمْ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ. Allah gave you ears to hear, he gave you eyes to see. وَالْأَفْئِدَ, he gave you your heart. Okay? Say, لَا أَلَّكُمْ تَلْكُمْ you be grateful. Because these are the three major faculties by which you can learn. Alright? If a person is born into this world and he cannot see, he cannot hear, there is no way that person can learn anything. So everybody came in a state of ignorance. Okay? Now, when a person, so when a person is unable to read and write, the Arabs used to call that person ummi. Alright? Meaning he not the way he came from his mother. Do you understand? So we say such a person is unlettered. And ordinarily, it is a negative attribute, isn't it? For somebody to grow up and become unlettered, he cannot read, he cannot write. But in the case of Prophet Muhammad, Allah also describes him as ummi, isn't it? Al-Nabi al-Ummi. An unlettered prophet. In fact, he himself, the Prophet of Allah, one of the hadiths, he said, "Inna ummatun ummiya." We are an unlettered ummah. He said, "La naktub wa la nahsu." We don't write and we don't calculate. He said, "Ash-shahru indana hakada wa hakada wa hakada." A month in our place is like this, like this, like this. That's the sentence, three times. That's the fact. The fact that the prophet is unlettered, because it's a negative attribute in the case of the prophet. You understand? Because if the prophet had been lettered, if he had been able to read and write, the Arabs would have been able to accuse him easily of fabricating the Quran. Isn't it? So for the fact that he cannot read, he cannot write, yet he came with a Quran that nobody had been able to produce something similar, makes it miraculous. Isn't it? And that is a mark of elevation on his own part. Do you understand? It's a mark of elevation on his part. And that's what he had. This set of views that we're talking about here, Allah says they are only you. They are on letters. Allah says, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابِ. They have no knowledge of the book. They have no knowledge of what is inside the At-Tawrah given to Prophet Musa. إِلَّا أَمَانِيَ. All they have is false hope. False hope of entering to paradise. Okay? They are not following the commandments of Allah. They are not abstaining from what Allah has prohibited, yet they believe they are going to paradise. Alright? Allah says, they used to say, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ
وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن
Yes, you can see this one. Allah said, they say that no one will enter paradise. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. No one will enter paradise except a Jew or a Christian. Allah said, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّ. That is just their false hope. You understand? Because you cannot just sit down like that. You didn't follow Allah's commandments. You did not ask for Allah's permission and say you're going to paradise. That's what Allah says, وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. They are just making guesswork. Okay, nobody will go to paradise without believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, without following the commandments of Allah, doing what Allah commands and abstaining from what Allah prohibits, and then you want to go to paradise. It's not possible. Alright, that is just false hope. That's wishful thinking. Do you understand? So Allah is saying that these people only have wishful thinking and they are only doing guesswork. Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ. Woe unto those who write the book, they are beating with their hands,
ثم يقولون هذا من عند الله. Then they will say that this is from Allah. They deliberately confessing, they write book and they say this thing we are preaching, this law is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا من عند الله. Why are they doing so? Allah says ليشتروا به ثمنا قليلا. They do that just to buy a little price. They do that in exchange for a little price. What they think? Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لَّهُمْ مِمَّا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Woe unto them for what their hands are bringing. فَوَيْلٌ لَّهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. And woe unto them for what they have earned. Writing the book, woe unto them, punishment for them. What the money, the worldly things that they earn as a result of that, and that, that thing is also caught on them. So it is completely wrong for anybody to write things and ascribe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is completely wrong for anybody to make any pronouncement, say this thing is halal or this thing is haram, and claim that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has said so, when you know that what you are saying is not true. Do you understand? Because if you lie, if you lie against the Prophet, what the Prophet says? He says you should prepare your speech in hellfire. مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأَ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever lies against me, deliberately, he should prepare his speech in hellfire. What more of someone who lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why Imam Malik, radiallahu rahimahullah, Imam Malik used to say, he said, whenever they ask you a question about Islam, before you answer, just imagine yourself in between hellfire and paradise. You understand? Just imagine that paradise is in your right hand, hellfire is in your left hand. And whatever answer you give concerning this question now will determine where you enter. Yes. If you answer correctly, you go to paradise. If you answer wrongly, you are going to hellfire. So if you don't know, what do you do? To keep quiet. Yes? To keep quiet. You don't say things about Allah that you don't know. But if you say things about Allah, you ascribe to Allah, then Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لَّهُمْ. Or a woe unto them. You see that even in our ummah, whoever does that, the way of the Quran. Allah says, وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. The Jews say, they say, the fire will not touch us except for a number of days, few days. Allah says, قُلْ, Allah says to the Prophet, قُلْ, tell them, say to them, أَتَّخَفْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدًا. Have you taken a covenant from Allah? Is there an agreement between you and Allah in this regard? فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ أَهْدًا. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not violate his agreement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not contradict that covenant. Allah says, أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. Or are you just saying things about Allah that you don't know? What is going to happen here is that one day the Prophet asked the Jews, who are those that are going to help us? And they said, we are the ones. You understand? They agreed that they are going to help us. Who are those going to help us? They said, we are the ones. For we are only going there for a few days. Then we will go out. Then you, Muhammad, and your companions will take our place inside hellfire. That's what they said to the Prophet. What said, you are lying. Alright, so that's why Allah revealed this verse in relation to their statement. لَنْ تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. Some sort of the said, when they said, just we are going to hellfire just a number of days. In some narrations, they said, we will enter hellfire for 40 days. After 40 days, we are going out. That 40 days was the number of days we used to worship the calf. That is the baby calf. When Musa went to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they started worshiping the calf before Musa came back. So it was for a number of 40 days. So they said that yes, Allah will punish us for worshiping the baby calf, but it's going to be for 40 days. After that, we are going out. You, Muhammad, and your companions, you enter in our place. Alright? So Allah now says it first. Tell them, أَتَّخَفْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدًا. Have you taken a covenant? Is there an agreement between Allah that okay, if you go there, you always turn 40 and come out? فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَدًا. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not contradict his vow, his agreement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not contradict his agreement. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an agreement, makes a covenant, Allah does not fail. Why is that Allah does not fail in his agreement?
because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kutu. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all things. You know, if a person makes an agreement, if a person makes a promise and he says, the reason why he has failed is one of two things. It's either because the person is not Kutu. Right from the beginning, when he was making that promise, he knows that he's telling lies. Or it's because he is fruitful. He actually wanted to fulfill the promise, but he is incapacitated. These are the two reasons I can make somebody to say in his promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lie. Allah is always fruitful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable. Nothing will make Allah incapacitated. And that's why in Allah la yukhliful mi'ad. Allah does not contradict his promise. Allah does not say, okay? So the Prophet is saying, when you argue, when you will say that you are not going to, you will only enter hellfire for a few number of days, you then agree between you and Allah, so that Allah will not fail in that agreement, or you are just saying things about Allah that you don't know. Allah says, Bala, man kasaba sayyi'atan. Allah says, hey, what you are saying is not true. Man kasaba sayyi'atan. Whoever has earned evil deeds, wa ahata bihi khafi'atuhu. And his sin surrounds him. He is surrounded by his sin. For Ulaika Ashab now. Such people are the companions of hellfire. Whom Fiha Khalidun. They will dwell in hellfire forever. Walladina Amanu. And those who believe. Wa Amilu Salihat. And do righteous deeds. Ulaika Ashab Jannah. Those are the companions of paradise. Whom Fiha Khalidun. They will also dwell in it forever. So, you are going to paradise is not by force move, it's not by claiming, it is by your iman and your righteous deeds. Okay? But if a person has earned evil deeds and is surrounded by his sin, there is no way such a person can go to paradise. Okay? And that's why we must always try as much as possible to avoid sin. Some scholars of the opinion that when Allah says Imam Kassab has said Yi'atan, the word say Yi'ahya refers to the Kaba'i, the major things. Alright, you know, things are divided into major things and minor things. Now, Imam Kassab has said Yi'atan, whoever has earned a major thing, wa ahata fihi khati'atuhu, and is surrounded by his minor thing. Because if you commit a major thing, like zina, fornication, and adultery, like taking alcohol, like murder, alright, like shirk and all that. If you commit this thing and you do not repent, okay, then you are under the will of Allah. If Allah will, Allah will take you to hellfire directly. If Allah will, Allah can also forgive you. Likewise, if you are committing minor sins, if the major things require tawbah, you have to repent sincerely. The minor sins can be wiped away by our righteous deeds. When you do a righteous deed, Allah can use to wipe away your minor sins. We have said here in our group Moran class that when you perform a wish and you are going to mock, for every step, isn't it? When you take the right step, Allah will add a reward for you. If you take the left step, Allah will wipe away a sin. The sin is the minor sin. But when one persists in doing minor sins, it can lead to your destruction as well. Dear Master, when you underrate a sin, it can lead to your destruction. That's why the Prophet used to warn his Ummah. He said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَسِّرَاتِ الْغُنُوبِ. He said, I warn you against things that people consider as insignificant. He said, فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ. Because they can gather upon a person, فَيَحْلِقْنَهُ. Then they will destroy it. So you underrate it, you think it's nothing. Okay? But you keep on doing it. Number one, it will lead you to the major thing. Alright, and then when it becomes too much, it can also destroy you. In fact, in this hadith that I just put now, in another part of that hadith, the Prophet said, it is just like people who gather in the desert. They want to cook food. Alright? They want to cook food and there's no fire to cook that food. So what do they do? They now agree upon themselves that let us all go and get small wood. Okay, so this person, they ignite the fire, but the fire is not burning, it's very small. This person will go and bring one small firewood and put it in. Another person will go and bring and put it in. Another person will go and, you know, as they are putting it, the fire is increasing, isn't it? Their food will become dull. So, that is the same way your small, your minor thing is consuming. Alright? Initially, it's just like a small flame of fire, but you continue to do it. You continue to do it and you're going to underrate it, and that's why it's going to pile up, till it will consume up. And that's why we must avoid both the major and the minor things. No.
So Allah to Allah dina amanu. But for those who believe, wa amil saliha and do right of the ulaika ashabu al-jannah. Those are the companions of paradise, kum fiha khalidu. Alright, they will dwell in their journey forever. Yeah.
وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنكُمْ وَأَنتُم مُّعْرِضُونَ.
نعم, Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. I remember when we took the covenant from the Bani Israel, the children of Israel. We took a covenant, we made an agreement with them. And that agreement, what do we say to them? Allah says, we said to them, La ta'buduna illa Allah. You not worship anyone except who? Except Allah. Wa bil walidayni ihsana. And be kind, is beautiful to your parents. Okay? Wa bil qurba. Be kind to your close relatives. Wal yatama. And to the orphan. Wal masakin. And to the needy, the poor and needy. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا and speak good to people. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ establish the prayer. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ give the zakat. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ Allah said, but you people turn your back. You turn away. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْكُمْ except few among you. Alright? وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ while you turn back, you turn away from this covenant. So this was a covenant between Allah and the Jews. This same instruction we are giving to the believers, so we, the Muslims. Alright, we shall come to that later. It's not in Nisa. Allah says, وَاعْبُدُوا
اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ بِالْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا.
You can see the same instruction here was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the verse Allah has just read now. Okay? That was talking to we the Muslims. So the same instruction. That's why scholars should say these things mentioned here have been like that right from the world, right from creation. They have never been abrogated. The first covenant says what? La ta'buduna illa Allah. Don't worship anyone except Allah. That's how it has been right from Adam. There was never a time that Allah gave you permission to worship anyone besides you. It has been like that. We do not worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is tawheed. The next instruction is what? Wa bil walidayni ihsana. Allah says, be kind to your parents. Usually when Allah mentions his right, alright, Allah's right and the messenger's right are together. So the next most important right that you must fulfill is the right of our parents. Allah says, be kind to your parents. Respect them. Okay? Obey their lawful commands. Okay, help them, assist them, provide for them. You understand? So Islam encourages us to be beautiful to our parents. In fact, in one of the hadiths of the Prophet, the Prophet said that the Jews came and the Jews subjected that anybody who meets his parents alive and he could not achieve paradise through them, may Allah for that cast him into hellfire. Because when you have one of your parents alive, either the children or one of them, and you are beautiful to them, that is an easy way of attaining paradise. Do you understand? Alright, in one of the hadiths, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I asked the Prophet, that what is the best, Ayyul A'mali Afdal, what is the best deed? The Prophet said, As-salatu ala waqtiha, praying on time is one of the best deeds. He said, I said, okay, what's next? He said, Birrul Walidain. The next thing is, be kind to your parents. Okay? So we must not take our parents, you know, for joke. This is something that Islam holds in high esteem. And you know that it's one thing that is even making some non-Muslims to accept Islam? Have you heard of a story? There was something that happened not long ago in France. Okay, the imam of the masjid was one who wrote it on his social media. He said he was sitting in the mosque and a woman came with his young son and said, "I want my son to enter your religion." Do you understand? The imam was surprised because the woman is not a Muslim. So the imam said to the woman, "Why do you want your son to accept Islam and you are not ready to join Islam?" She said, "Because I want him to do what your religion commands him to do." The imam asked him, "What are you talking about?" She said, "For us, the non-Muslims there, okay, when we become old, our children take us to the old people's house." Do you understand? They see their old parents as nuisance. They cannot live with them in the same house again. So they have a special home where they take them to, so that other people will be taking care of them. But in your religion commands you to take care of your parents, isn't it? So I want my son to take care of me and not to take me to that home. That's why I want him to become a Muslim. You can imagine. Alright? So, but you find Muslims today not being beautiful to their parents. This is something that other people are envying us of. Alright? But we abandon the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is something that is very, very important in Islam. We obey them, we help them, we assist them. We obey their lawful commandments. Alright? We do not obey them when they call us to come and do what's wrong. Okay? Uh-huh. But we obey them when they give us lawful commands. So obey the walidaini ihsana. It says, wajil qurba. Okay? And to your close relatives. Assist your close relatives. Be kind to them. How can you be rich in your family and then you have your relatives are poor and you're not doing anything about them? There are people like that. They are rich. In fact, you find them that they are always donating money outside. Isn't it? But among their relatives, their uncles or their uncle's children, their cousins, their nephews, instead of living in poverty, they don't have time for them. They don't visit them. They don't accommodate them. This is wrong. All what they are doing outside is for me. Isn't it? It's for sure. They don't assist their close relatives. This is wrong. Okay. So whenever you have the need, okay, establish close relationship with your relatives. Assist them. You know, that somebody I know, he used to say his brother is very rich. Okay. So he's always taking his brother's money. Anyone the brother complains, they will tell the brother, "This money is not for you alone. Allah gave you to take care of all of us. So it's the family's money. It's not your money alone." It's only saying, you understand? He said, "Allah gave you this money for all of us, not for you alone. So whether you like it or not, I must eat from this money." You know, and his brother will be angry. In any case, what I'm trying to say is that whenever Allah leads you up in your family, know that you have the burden of the rest on you. Okay, you must take everybody in your family along. Allah says, "Wadil Qurba." "Wal Yatama," then the orphan. Allah encourages us to take care of the orphan. Alright, an orphan in Islam is somebody who loses his father before the person attains the age of maturity. Okay, whether a male or a female. If a person loses his father before attaining the age of maturity, that person is said to be an orphan. About that person said to be an orphan. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Me and the person who takes the responsibility of an orphan will be like this in paradise." You understand? So it's something that is highly important. The Sharia also prohibits us from consuming the wealth of an orphan. There are people who have been entrusted with the wealth of an orphan, yet they consume this money or this wealth even before the orphan grows up. Alright, this is wrong, this is haram. Allah says those who do that, they are eating hellfire in their belly. Okay? So while they come, so one masakin, then the poor and needy, we should assist them. Especially as you approach most of Ramadan. Alright, it does not make sense that you eat and even have excess while your neighbor is fasting in hunger. Alright? Has nothing to break the fasting. Okay, so we must assist the poor and needy. In our says, "Well, who knows the nothing hope now? Speak good to people." Speak what? Good to people. Command what is good. Speak what is bad. Address people politely. Don't insult people. The Prophet says, "Ibab al-Muslim, Fusuf." If I'm a Muslim, pursuit. To abuse a fellow Muslim is an act of transgression. It's Satan. Okay? So speak rude to people. You know, I used to tell people, whatever you say to somebody, okay, it affects them in their heart. That's why somebody can insult you today, and for the next 20 years, you still remember that thing that is said to you. Because it attacks your heart. It's more painful than beating somebody. So you must be careful what you say to others. And one thing with the statement that once you say it, you cannot take it back again. Alright? If it's out, it is out. You can't take it back. So you must be careful what you say. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. You cannot say it with keep quiet. Okay? وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. He said, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَدُّوا الْبَيْعَةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ give the zakat. Allah said, when we gave the Jews this covenant, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّوْا then they turned their back. They refused to fulfill this obligation. Alright? I said, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. May we accept few among them. Only few people kept to their promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. While you turn away deliberately, knowing that what you are doing is wrong. Now.
وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِن دِيَارِكُمْ ثم أقررتم وأنتم تشهدون ثم أنتم هؤلاء تقتلون أنفسكم وتخرجون فريقا منكم من ديارهم وتخرجون فريقا أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about another covenant that he took with the Jews. Okay? Let me give you a preamble to these two verses. Okay? Or these two or three verses. You know, before the Prophet migrated to Medina, okay, before Islam came to Medina, Medina was occupied by, you have the Arab settlement and you have the Jewish settlement. Okay? Among the Arabs, you have two major ethnic groups. We call them the Khazraj and the Aus. Okay, these were two major predominant Arab ethnic groups in Medina. The Khazraj and the Aus. And there was severe war between them. They were always fighting. Okay, they were always fighting. They were never united. Then you have the Jewish settlement. The Jewish settlement was made up of three major ethnic groups among the Jews. You have the Banu Qaynuqa, you have the Banu Nadir, and you have the Banu Qurayza. Okay, you have Banu Qurayza. These were three major Jewish ethnic groups. Now, because the Khazraj and the Aus were always fighting each other, and they need more power, more soldiers, they went into alliance with the Jews. You know, these Khazraj and Aus, they were Arabs, but they were not Muslims. They were idol worshippers. They didn't have any religion. That was before the Prophet migrated to Medina. So they went into alliance with the Jews. Okay, they went to alliance. The Khazraj went into alliance with Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Nadir. while the house went into alliance with Banu Qurayza. So anytime there is war between Khazraj and house, Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Nadir will join. Therefore Banu Qurayza will join their own army, and so they will end up fighting each other. Whereas in the Torah, Allah commanded the Jews not to kill one another. But now that they have entered into alliance with two different groups, you know, when you now join, they will end up fighting themselves. So you find Jews on this side, you find Jews on this side. So as the Arabs are fighting, they will also join. And they end up killing one another, they end up enslaving one another, they cast each other as captives. So in their book, it is haram upon them to fight one another, to kill each other. In their book also, it is obligatory upon them that whenever one of them is enslaved, is caught as a captive, they must go and pay ransom to free him. So two commandments now in their book. Don't kill yourself, and whenever anybody is enslaved or is captured, you have to go and ransom that person. So Allah says, وَإِنْ أَخَذْنَا مِنْفَاقَكُمْ. Remember when we took your covenant. That what? لَا تَسْلِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ. Don't kill yourself. Meaning don't kill one another. And also, وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. Do not expel yourself from your home. Don't drive yourself out of your house. Okay? Allah says, ثُمَّ أَسْرَرْتُمْ. Then you acknowledge this covenant. You all agree that yes, there is an agreement between us and Allah on this. وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. And you bear witness to this covenant. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ. Then you people, after this covenant, here you are. تَقُتِلُونَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ. You are killing yourself. Because they join their allies to fight, so in the process they end up killing themselves. تَقُتِلُونَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. And you expel, you drive out a group among you from their home. تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ. You support order against them. Because when the Banu Qaynuqa support the Khazraj, right, they are fighting against the house. But in the same process, they are fighting against the Banu Qurayza. Also, when the Banu Qurayza support the house, they are fighting against the Khazraj. But in the process, they are fighting against the Banu Qaynuqa and the Banu Nadir. So they are supporting Arabs against their own self. So Allah says, تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ. You are supporting others against them. This is in sin, wal-udwan and transgression. Allah says, وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ. Then after the fasting, when some of them, your own fellow members, have been captured as captives, وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى. When they come to you as captives, to فَادُوهُ. You ransom them. You pay ransom to free them from capture. وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُ. Whereas it is haram upon you initially to fight and even drag them out of their houses. Allah says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. You don't believe in part of the book. وَتَشْكُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. And you disbelieve in part. In some. You know, now they are paying ransom. Why are they paying ransom? They are obeying what is in the Torah. But when they go out to fight each other, are they obeying what is in the Torah? They are not. So it means they believe in a part and they disbelieve in another part. So Allah says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. You believe in a part of the book, وَتَشْكُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ, and you disbelieve in part, in some. Allah says, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ. What will be the recompense? What will be the reward of somebody who does that among you? إِلَّا خِزْنُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Except disgrace in the life of this world. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And on the day of judgment, يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Such people will be returned to a very severe punishment. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not unaware of what you do. Okay? Allah is not unaware of what you do. So it was haram upon them to fight themselves, but they were fighting themselves. Right? They were fighting one another and they were expelling one another from their house. So that's it. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to them as fighting themselves? You know, when Allah says, don't kill yourself, it's not like somebody will carry gun and shoot himself. What he has done is to kill his fellow brother, a Jew. But Allah says, you are killing yourself. Why? Because when you and a person have a common faith, you are like one body. You understand? That's why in Islam, what the Prophet said? He said, the similitude of the believer, مَثَلْ مُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَاجِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ. The similitude of the believers in their love for one another, in their mercy towards one another, is what? They can get it. They are that one body. Alright? إِذَا اشْتَكَى عُضُوٌ. When one part is sick, تَضَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالْحُمَى وَالسَّعَى. The many parts of the body we share, alright, in what? In fever and in sleepless night. Yes, sometimes only your hand can be paining you, but you're not able to sleep. Isn't it? Sometimes only headache alone will make you to sleep in one place, you cannot walk. And it's just headache. Do you understand? So, believers are like one body. We must not fight one another. We are supposed to unite against our enemy. Do you understand? So that's why the Prophet Allah is saying to them, do not kill yourself. Do not expel one another from your home. When you do that to your fellow brother, you are like doing it to yourself. Allah says, those who do this, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَشْتَرَوُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ. Those who do this are those who have bought, who have exchanged the life of this world in place of the hereafter. Okay? They sold their hereafter for the life of this world. Allah says, فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ الْعَذَابِ. Their punishment will not be lightened. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ. And they will not get any assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So when you sell your hereafter because of this war, then whatever you deal is little compared to the hereafter. And when you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be going back to severe torment. Okay? Severe torment. So what we learn from this is that we are supposed to unite as Muslims. Okay? We unite ourselves. We don't fight each other. Sometimes, like it's happening in our position here, you find out the state is that the people are fighting with the Basa community. Have you heard of something like that? Yes. And you have Muslims among the Grafotu, you have Muslims among the Basa. Alright? But because of ethnicity, they fight each other. They kill each other. You see a fellow Muslim who says La ilaha illallah, but because he belongs to the other ethnic group, you kill him. Because of ethnicity. Do you understand? This is wrong. You cannot be killing, when you kill your fellow Muslim, you are killing yourself. You understand? And when they return back to Allah, what are they going to mean? Alright? Severe punishment. Severe punishment. In fact, the Prophet says, whoever fights under the banner of ethnicity and dies in the process, he has died like somebody who died in the period of Galilee. You understand? So we must avoid all this. Let us stop here because of instruction. Whatever was said at the time, may Allah reward us for it. Whatever was wrong, may Allah forgive us. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Inshallah, ila ila anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.